Background, Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background, Michigan.
Looking again at Summer Theater with technical director and designer Jim Edwards, we asked Jim to give us his thoughts on the future of Summer Theater in Michigan.
Well, Al, I was a magician, not a fortune teller. I am afraid that I see that more and more theaters are going to go to equity, to professional. I would hope to see more college-oriented theaters for and by the students. Summer theater is the greatest training ground in the world for actors, for directors, for producers, for lighting men, for technicians of all type. I think technical theater is growing very definitely. I've never seen such an upswing in interest in theaters all the way from elementary school to high school and beyond. Virtually every high school today is building a theater. And I'm happy to say that many of them are no longer a room off a room. Remember the old gymnasium, the gymnatorium, with the little stage off the end of the gym?
An afterthought to basketball.
Right. And in my own professional work with architects, I've been preaching against this. We understand, we realize that you must have multi-purpose rooms today. But let's put the stage in the cafeteria where you have some acoustical treatment. Or better yet, let's build a theater and then put other uses in the theater. We have one theater here in the state that we worked on where they actually have basketball boards in the wings of the auditorium, of the stage. And during the noon hour, they play basketball on the stage. Naturally, going back to theater lighting, the auditorium itself, when being used as a theater, when your house is coming in, should be fairly lowly lighted, if I may use a clumsy phrase. When you're using it for a lecture room or a study hall, you must have higher illumination levels. Let's put in two series. Let's put in fluorescent lighting for the study hall and incandescent for your theater.
Do you foresee the possibility of summer theater installations trying to gain some of the same flexibility?
Frankly, I see summer theaters moving into these auditoria. I think they're going to come out of the barns. I think they're going to come into the towns. These high schools today have a lot of parking space. This is quite attractive. They're usually easily located in a town. The days of the old barn, romantic as they may be, I think are numbered.
Do you think the selection of shows that summer theaters offer, Jim, will be different in character in the succeeding years ahead?
I see that we're going to get more and more musical comedy. And this goes back to a comment that I made earlier. We're getting away from the quagmire theater. We're looking for escape. This is where your musicals are holding up so tremendously.
Production cost factor is extremely high, however, with musicals. Do you think summer theaters will find ways of overcoming that problem?
Cost factors are high in Broadway, no matter what you're doing. Summer theaters can do tremendous things with lower production costs. Many of these things, My Fair Lady doesn't have to be played in the strict costuming of the period. look at the modern dress Hamlet.
Yes.
This can be done. People will forgive little things like this. If you're saddled with arena theater, they won't, because you, as a member of the audience, are also a member of that cast. But put them on that picture frame, and immediately you're separated, and they will forgive a lot of these things.
Sincere thanks to Jim Edwards of Lansing, appearing with us to comment and discuss Michigan's summer theater movement for Background Michigan.
Background Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background Michigan.
Continuing summer theater talk, we asked Ruth Bailey of the Cherry County Playhouse how one gets involved in the risky business of summer theater.
It's been asked why and how I started the Cherry County Playhouse. Well, I simply had to. I've always been an actress all my life, and I had a languishing career in television here in Cincinnati, where I must live in the winter. And so I decided, having an understanding husband and a child in camp in 1952, to go back into summer stock, take my chances in legitimate theater. And then I did another summer of stock. I got the idea of my own theater at the end of the first summer, but I decided I need to know a lot more about running a theater than just being an actress all my life. Perhaps if I'd known what I know now, I never would have had enough courage to have started it, because really, it's a tremendous undertaking to go out and raise the money and pour over plans for blueprints for a tent when neither you nor the carpenter know what the blueprint is all about. However, I did find that the entire objective of starting my own theater, which was to act, more or less boomeranged on me. And I found myself the first year chained to a desk, and I was obviously very naive to think that I could pick up a business manager from a winter stock company who would run the theater, and then I'd cast myself in all the improbable parts and no sane producer or director would ever cast me in. Somehow it just didn't work out that way. I did try to do both acting and producing for about 3 or 4 years, but about 4 years ago, I mopped my brow at the end of a Sunday night performance of Reluctant Debutante and said, never again. I cannot split my energies. I must concentrate and channel all my energies toward one objective. So that is what I've tried to do. Now, why I started in Traverse City rather than my home, my winter home in Cincinnati, one reason was I couldn't find the exact physical location here in Cincinnati that I felt was the center of the city where it would draw on the greater Cincinnati area. And then I went up to our summer home at Northport Point, 35 miles from Traverse City, one weekend after a summer at summer stock in Chicago. And I looked around and decided, well, this is a resort area, a large one, and they don't have any entertainment around here. Two movies and a drive-in and a shuffleboard tournament one week in August. So I began making inquiries as to exact population potential and found that the population swells from 69,000 in the winter to over 250,000 in the summer within a radius of 40 miles of Traverse City. There are also, at the present time, about 350 resort hotels and motels and 32 cottage colonies. So I thought, what do those transients and the motels do for entertainment? So anyhow, in 1955, we finally found backers, and we started the tent arena theater called the Cherry County Playhouse opposite the Park Place Hotel, which is this year, our 10th anniversary year, completely refurnished and redecorated and going to be reopened the middle of June as the Park Place Motor Inn. I had decided after one summer of stock in Chicago that no summer theater should be located anywhere except next to a restaurant and bar, because the average citizen, unfortunately, is not theater-minded. He or she wants to go out and have a couple of drinks and dinner, and theater is merely something to do after the dinner rather than looking at television or playing bridge or going to a movie. This is a sad state of affairs, but maybe if there are enough theaters that are started throughout the United States, maybe eventually people will buy theater for theater's sake rather than just as a means of spending an evening.
Ruth Bailey of the Cherry County Playhouse comments to be continued on the next Background Michigan program. This is the Michigan State Radio Network.
Background Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background, Michigan.
Continuing our look at Star System Summer Theater with Ruth Bailey of the Cherry County Playhouse in Traverse City, we asked Ruth about the typical personnel setup of a summer theater.
Well, the business end of the theater is called the front of the house. Those are the people, salaried people, who take care of the box office, the promotional department, the business end of the theater. And under me, there is a business manager, and then there's a box office treasurer, and a promotional director. And when the theater began being successful, I plowed the profits back into another salary in the promotional department and hired a press agent, because I feel this is particularly important in a large resort area such as ours. The promotion that you do, you must get to each motel manager and convince that manager that the Cherry County Playhouse will help him in his business if he promotes our theater as entertainment for his transient guests. Maybe they'll stay over another night, or maybe they'll come back another week. So we have plowed back any profits that we've made into the promotional department, more posters, as well as the other salary. Then we have a secretary, and a couple of years ago I decided that I would create an apprenticeship type of job called assistant to the producer. These are usually, this is usually a college person, a graduate, boy or girl, who is interested in learning the business end of theater management. I can throw that person into either the promotional department or the box office, wherever there is a need, either on an emergency basis or on a seasonal basis, and they learn by doing. The backstage personnel is composed of a director, stage manager, a director of apprentices, because we have a large apprentice group, and an electrician and a prop mistress. The director of apprentices is, I would say, equally important with the director of the main stage productions, because our apprentice group, which we euphemistically call the Cherry County Junior Players, give plays for children every Friday at 10:30. The director of apprentice must have the unbelievable combination and almost impossible to find of creative and artistic talent and executive ability. He must not only rewrite the children's plays, because most of them are so dull that they must be rewritten to give them excitement and action, and cast and direct them, and he must design and execute the sets and the scenery such as they are, and arena staging, which our theater has, and costumes. But he also must organize and schedule all the time of the junior players for their duties in relation to the main stage production. Those duties consist of collecting props, painting and executing the sets for the main stage shows, the costumes, and so forth. So there's a tremendous amount of work that the director of apprentices must do. He must be a very qualified professional with a world of background. We have about 21, as a matter of fact, last year, apprentices. I try to limit it to between 15 and 20 and not take any more. The apprentices must either have a personal interview, or I will take them with two letters of reference as to their talents, industry, and integrity. It is a rugged, rugged summer of hard, hard work, and I usually say to each apprentice applicant, we work 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're one block from the lake, and you may have 5 minutes once a week to look at the lake. Are you still interested? Amazingly enough, most of them are. And it's given me a great deal of satisfaction and real joy to see some of our graduates, as it were, from 2 years of apprenticeship go on to fame and fortune in New York and Hollywood.
We'll continue these comments by Ruth Bailey on summer theater operation on our next Background Michigan program. Al LaGuire speaking. This is the Michigan State Radio Network.
Background Michigan, the people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment, the state where we live and work. Background Michigan.
Ruth Bailey of the Cherry County Playhouse is our current guest on our survey of summer theater. We asked Ruth about the rough, competitive business of acquiring box office stars and planning for the season ahead.
Immediately, we must start planning for the next season. When January comes, I start making long lists of star possibilities. 1 year, I contacted 200 stars to get 9. I start out with the ones I obviously think will draw at the box office the most. Today, it's usually the big TV names and personalities. By March, then of course in January and February, I have to send out letters in answer to applications for the business staff and the backstage personnel. So it's really like organizing a new business every single year. As I say, I'm very lucky if I get these college people two summers in a row. So there isn't really much continuity in the personnel, which is one thing that is most frustrating to me, because the first year people really are learning. The second year they're usually much better. All right, so now we're at the list department, the list stage of all these beautiful hypothetical stars that we hope to get. They're not hypothetical except as far as the bookings with the Cherry County Playhouse are concerned. By March, the meetings in New York of the Council Stock Theaters, to which the Cherry County Playhouse belongs, start, and all the managers get together on which stars they feel will pull at the box office, whom they have heard is willing to go out in the stock. And of course, the unfortunate part with a theater of a 646 capacity with a $2.95 top is the fact that we cannot compete with the large music tents of the East, where they can gross $40,000 and sometimes $50,000, $60,000 a week. They can offer stars astronomical salaries, and so the big names go to the big theaters, and we lose out. And I feel as though I am always fishing with inadequate bait, and I always feel as though when they're bidding for stars at these meetings and with the agents, that I'm over in Starvation Corner. Because many years ago, in fact, the second year of the theater, I set a policy of a certain salary top, which our theater could afford, and I have never broken it in 10 years. I have shared the profits over a certain percentage with the star in order to get big names. In other words, if the star will come for a lower guarantee than they go to other theaters, I will give them a more generous percentage of the profits over a certain point. I feel if the star will gamble with the theater, then if they bring them in, they deserve to take it away. And this has worked very successfully in a great many instances. However, sometimes they don't want to gamble because they're not sure of their own box office draw any more than I am. And then I lose out because I won't pay $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for 1 week for a star. Several stars last year I know got as much as $10,000. And there's one this year that I know is getting $10,000 for 1 week. Well, we can gross not quite $11,000. So that's obviously ridiculous to even contemplate those big names. But we do try to get as popular TV names as we possibly can, and I do everything to get to the stars direct. The agents are just fine, but if you go through an agent, he'll give you the runaround. You never know whether he has actually contacted the star and giving the star your bid or not, and it is from February on, I live in a world of frustration.
The process of getting stars for a summer theater operation described for us by Ruth Bailey of the Cherry County Playhouse. The subject to be concluded tomorrow on Background Michigan. This is the Michigan State Radio Network.
Background Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background Michigan.
We've been looking at the operation of a summer theater with producer Ruth Bailey of the Cherry County Playhouse in Traverse City. To conclude our discussion of summer theater in Michigan, we asked Ruth for a final comment on the biggest problems and benefits of the star system.
The problems of booking stars is becoming increasingly great, are becoming increasingly great, because, as I've said, the big music theaters, the big theaters where they can gross anywhere from $25,000 to $50,000 a week, pick the plums. The little theaters of 646 capacity, such as ours, cannot afford these big stars. And it is like, well, I can't tell you how difficult it is. Like trying to find rainbow trout in a stream where there aren't any rainbow trout. To get 9 or 10 stars out of packages. That is the other difficulty. in booking stars. They can go into what is called a package, which is a play cast in New York, probably, and rehearsed in New York, and sent from theater to theater with the same cast. Therefore, the producer of the theater becomes a booking agent rather than a theater producer or manager. There's no production done on their particular stage. It is just sent in like a touring company. Now, all of the Eastern summer theaters have turned to the package system out of sheer necessity, because the stars can make so much more money that way. Because, as perhaps most laymen do not know, stars receive the minimum equity salary for every rehearsal week they put in, which in our particular case happens to be $82.50 a week, because we are in a category called the Y category theater. That means that if they have a salary of, say, $1,500 for the playing week, then their rehearsal week, they only get $82.50. Well, you add that to their other, and they divide that by two, and that brings down their salary so that they feel that they cannot afford to go out to a resident company such as ours and rehearse a week and play a week. I have tried to get around that by getting together with other Midwest summer theater managers who have resident companies and job in one star a week as we do for a production, and then we will take from the other theaters that star without their resident company, though, but without a rehearsal. In other words, if a star starts at the Cherry County Playhouse, then the Cherry County Playhouse gets the rehearsal week for that star. Then Canal Fulton Theater in Massillon, Ohio, will pick up that star from us, or Sullivan, Illinois Theater will pick up that star from us without a rehearsal, except for one day. They finish at our theater Sunday, they go to the next theater on Monday, they rehearse Monday, and they open Tuesday night. Then we try to be generous about it, and we will take the star from another theater in certain instances. This is if the star refuses to go out for just 1 week, where they must rehearse a week and play a week. Again, as I say, the salaries are so high, they are becoming prohibitively high, and I have had to give increasingly high percentages in order to get stars. Now, those I would consider the major problems of the star system. The benefit of the star system, of course, is the fact that your public buys stars rather than theater. They come to the theater out of curiosity rather than love of the theater. This is Ruth Bailey of the Cherry County Playhouse saying goodbye.
And with these closing comments by Ruth Bailey, we conclude our survey of summer theater in Michigan, its problems, people, its past and future. This is the final program of Background Michigan for the current season. Al LaGuire speaking, hoping you've enjoyed our exploration of the people, the places, the industry, and the arts that make up Background Michigan. This has been a Michigan State University radio production.